Congregation, please open your Bibles in Hebrews chapter 2, and we are going to read verses 10 through 17. And also, please open at the same time your Bibles in 1 Peter chapter 4, and we will be reading verses 12 through 19. I was thinking to include 1 Peter 2, but chapter 4, but for some reason I forget. I apologize for that. So we have two Bible texts tonight. The first one is Hebrews chapter 2, verses 10 through 17. And the second one is 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 19. So I will repeat 1 Peter later. Let's read first Hebrews chapter 2, verses 10 through 17. Let me say that for you once more. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 10 through 17. Hear now the reading of God's holy and inspired word. For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, I will tell of your name to my brothers in the midst of the congregation. I will sing your praise. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children God has given me. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who through the fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Also, please come to me to 1 Peter chapter 4, and we will be reading verses 12 through 19. 1 Peter chapter 4, and we will be reading verses 12 through 19. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome of those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. Also, congregation, please open your Trinity's Altar hymnals in Lord's Day 9, because tonight we are going to be considering the Heidelberg Catechism and Lord's Day 9, question and answer 26. And if you are able to do so, please have this Heidelberg Catechism open with you tonight, because we will be looking at it several times during the sermon. So, Lord's Day 9, question and answer 26. What do you believe when you say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth? That the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who out of nothing created heaven and earth and everything in them, who still upholds and rules them by his eternal counsel and providence, is my God and Father for the sake of Christ, his Son. I trust God so much that I do not doubt he will provide whatever I need for body and soul, and will turn to my good whatever adversity he sends upon me in this veil of tears. He is able to do this because he is Almighty God. He desires to do this because he is a faithful Father. So we have the reading also of our confessional reference for tonight. Let me just put this right here. So, dear congregation of the Lord, there are so many misunderstandings about who God is. And you can find them pretty much everywhere in this world. People who do not believe in God, for example, will have their own understanding about God. They will say, God is a human invention. We make up God. And when we see things that we cannot explain, then we invent God to explain things that we cannot explain by our reason. Others, on the other hand, will say, God is indeed necessary to something for something to exist. But that's it. God created the world and he abandoned it to its own. He doesn't care about you or me. He is just the creator. That's it. And even others still, and this is more fashion today, believe that God is the universe. And they dare to call God or Father as he, she, or even it. And when you die, they say, you are destined to be God. You are destined to join with God and join his force. And you just disappear. Now you are God. And that's why they talk about the Mother Earth, or the wise nature, or even the guiding process of evolution. Because for them, God is nature. God is this creation. But worst of all is that we have also that kind of misunderstandings in the Christian faith, in Christian circles too. For some, for example, God is a God who exists to pamper his children. And just a friend of mine the other day posted a picture on social media and said, I feel pampered by God. In other Christian circles, God is a God who's there to fulfill your desires, every wish that you have. And therefore, God becomes a kind of a genie who you ask a wish and he has to fulfill what you wish for. And even in other circles, God is just an angry God. Or God is just an impotent God who cannot punish evil. Or who is just love and he doesn't care. So they have these kind of ideas. But what do we find when we come to the Heidelberg Catechism? We find a scriptural understanding of who God is. And what the Catechism is saying to us tonight is that God is our Father in Christ. And if you see your bulletins, you will see that that's precisely the theme of my sermon. God, our Father. Now, we need to ask why we call God as Father. And how is God as our Father? And the Catechism replies to us tonight to those questions in question and answer 26 in three parts. So the first thing that the Catechism says to us is that God is our Father for Christ's sake. Second, the Catechism says, God is our Father who takes care of us. And finally, God is our Father who is faithful. So we have 3 points tonight, congregation. First, for Christ's sake. Second, who takes care of us. And third, God our Father who is faithful. Let us see then our first point, for Christ's sake. Now look with me again, the first part of the answer of the Heidelberg, of the Catechism. What do you believe when you say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth? That the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who out of nothing created heaven and earth and everything in them, who will steal of wholes and rules them by his eternal counsel and providence, is my God and Father for the sake of Christ, his Son. Notice, especially you boys and girls, that against the tendencies of this culture, the Catechism is reflecting on the fact that God is the creator of everything that exists. And sooner or later, especially you boys and girls, will find people who will come to you after you say that you are Christian, and they will say to you, why do you call God Father? That is just sexist. That is just against women. That is oppressive. Why do you call God Father? And against those arguments, we need to reply that is not up to us to decide how God himself had decided to reveal to us. After all, it's Jesus himself who taught us to pray, our Father who is in heaven. So it's not up to us to decide how we call God. God is not a she. God is not a deed. He has revealed himself in his word as our Father. He himself is teaching us to call him like that. But also, we need to wonder why we call God Father. Why does he has that name over himself? Have you ever wondered about that, boys and girls? Why can we call God Father? Why is the first person of the Trinity designated as Father? And the answer that the Catechism is replying to us is that God is called Father because he is the eternal Father of the Son, Jesus Christ. In other words, he is called Father because from eternity past to eternity future, he has been the Father of the Son, Jesus Christ. Now, many people take this and say, oh, okay, so if God is Father, therefore, Jesus had a beginning, and therefore, Jesus is not God. But that is not quite so, because the Catechism is clearly in affirm that God the Father is the eternal Father of the Son. That means that there was not a time in which the Father was not the Father, and there was not a time in which the Son was not a Son. They have existed forever. They have always been there. And the Son, who is mirroring the Father, he explains to us and he shows to us how the Father is like. What does he like? How is his character? How is his character? And actually, the Pharisees understood very well. That is why John 5:18 says to us, this is why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, meaning to kill Jesus. Because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. So when Jesus is saying, I am the Son of God, that is what he is meaning. I have been with God from all eternity past, and I will be with God from all eternity to all eternity future. I am like him. I have the same nature. And the Bible then reaffirms what the Heidelberg Catechism is saying to us tonight, that the Father is the Son's Father. And that's why we can call him Father. So there is nothing bad about this answer. God is the eternal Father of the Son. Again, against these modern tendencies of this world that try to call God as she or it, the Catechism calls us to stand firm in what we learn from the Bible and call God as our Father. We have confidence in that name. Also, look at this. The Catechism wants to focus on the reality that God the Father is a person who exists apart from his creation. That is what Genesis 1:1 means. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, let me ask you, why do you think, especially you boys and girls, why do you think Moses wrote, and it was important for Moses, inspired by the Holy Spirit, to write these words, that in the beginning, God created everything else? Because, you see, by the time of Moses, there was people like today, believing that God is part of nature, that God is this world. And therefore, Moses is clearly explaining, inspired by the Holy Spirit, that God is a transcendent God, that God is apart from this world, that he has existed before everything else has existed. Moses then is contrasting false gods that depend on nature with the real God of the Bible, who exists by himself. The world, then, is not God. The world is his creation. He speaks, and then everything comes to be. And contrary to these people who believe that God is creation, and which idea is very unfashioned today, we need to understand that God depends on no one, on nothing. He is by himself. And actually, this idea of God being the creation is the reason why many people want to hug trees, because they believe that God is the tree and that God is in nature. But boys and girls, understand this. God is over nature. He is the maker. He is not the creation. and he has existed before, and he was enjoying before creation even existed, fellowship within the persons of the Trinity. That is why nature and everything that exists obeys his voice. Let me read Psalm 33:6 for you. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their host. Therefore, everything that exists owes his existence to the Father. And what a comfort it is for us, boys and girls, to understand this, because we have a Father who is more powerful than anyone in this world. To have a Father that is in need of no one. To have a Father that is in need of nothing. That is a real God. That is a real Father. You know, when you say, my Father is the strongest, you can really say that about your God. My Father is the strongest. He actually made the heaven and earth. And contrast this reality that the Catechism is speaking about with the pitiful God of the trees, of this nature. They cannot save themselves. They have to do demonstrations to save the trees. But God doesn't need that. He saved us, not we to him. And against this idea, the Catechism is helping us to see how powerful our God is. And what a privilege to call him our Father, a real Father, a real God. Notice also that the Catechism talks about the Father who upholds this world, who sustains what he created. And this is very important too, because many in this world believe and have this understanding that God, yes, created the world, and yes, he was necessary to create everything that exists, but then he abandoned his creatures. He abandoned his creation. That God made this world as a perfect machine that works, and then he let creation by itself. But against this idea, the Catechism remarks for us tonight that the Father upholds this universe. He is concerned by everything that happens in this world, and not a single atom moves without the will of our Heavenly Father. He is under control, and even suffering, even pain, is in his hands. He knows that. God is in control. And this is the reality, so much so that Psalm 104:24-30 describes this loving care of God for us. Let me read it for you. O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom have you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Here is the sea, great and wide, which teems with creatures innumerable, living things both small and great. There go the ships and the Leviathan, which you formed to play in it. This all look to you. Listen to this. This all look to you to give them their food in due season. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. Can you see this, boys and girls? God is a God who is concerned about his creation. He has not abandoned creation. He is taking care of every little small detail, even the smallest one. That means that even the smallest squirrel right now who is giving birth to his little son owes his life to God. God is the one who sent his spirit to sustain this life. And if God takes care of nature in this way, don't you think he can take care of you too? That you are in his hands? That he is taking care of your needs? Don't you think that God is also worried about you? And how wonderful is this reality? How wonderful is this biblical idea that God takes care of you? In fact, this is the idea that the Catechism affirms when he says that, when the Catechism says that because of Christ, because Christ loved this his Father's world and his people, he came to die for our sins. He was worried about you. So he sent his son. And look how in Christ, he is upholding your lives too. He is also sustaining and taking care of your life, boys and girls. You are not abandoned. You are not on your own. He is taking care of you in the most special and loving way through his son, Jesus Christ. It is because Christ, that God the Father, is not only the Father of Christ, but he is also your Father, our Father. And that's why we can call God our Father. God is indeed our Father. Think of this, boys and girls. All that we have been describing so far, his care, his majesty, his self-giving love, are not characteristics of a God who is far away, are not characteristics of a God who turns his back to you, are characteristics of a God who has drawn near to you and that loves when you call him my Father, and that he delights in calling you my son and my daughter in Christ. That is a wonderful reality, that the creator of the universe knows you, knows me. You know, many people can say, I know such and such person. We can say, I know the creator of the universe. Nobody can defeat that. There is nothing to worry about when we have that understanding. And how comforting is that reality? That the most powerful being in the realm of existence call himself to us our Father, as a Father, and call us his daughters, his sons, and that we have been received by Christ. That we are now part of his heavenly family. So let me tell you this, and let me tell you very clearly something. Because people now with different ideas about evolution, about how this world came to be, want you to believe that you are a human trash. That your existence is meaningless. But that is not so. You are not a human trash. Your existence is not meaningless. You are not a cosmic powder. You are loved by God. You have value before his eyes. He is your Father. This leads us to our second point, who takes care of us. Look with me, part B of question and answer 26. I trust God so much that I do not doubt he will provide whatever I need for body and soul and will turn to my good whatever adversity he sends upon me in this veil of tears. Now, notice, congregation, that this concept of the Heidelberg Catechism goes directly against the idea that God that says that God pampers his children. God doesn't pamper his children. He wants to sanctify us. He wants to work in sanctification in our lives. And sometimes, to be honest, that hurts. And sometimes that is painful. But he does that for our good. That's why we read 1 Peter chapter 4 tonight. Don't be surprised when you are suffering. God is working in your life. You will be perfected. You will be joined with him in heaven, in glory. But also, there is a loving care of God in your life, even when you are suffering. Let me just read for you Luke chapter 12, verses 22 to 31. And then this is Jesus talking to his disciples. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither a storehouse nor barn. And yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do as a small thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, how much more will he clothe you? Oh, you of little faith! And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things. and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and all these things will be added to you. Now let me explain what is going on here, especially for you, boys and girls. Imagine, boys and girls, that you have $20 in your pocket. But at the same time, you know that tomorrow, the tax collector will come to your house and will ask 10 out of those 20. But also, he will ask a little bit extra for his own pocket. So you know that you have just $5 for yourself. But also, you have to pay rent. Now you only have $1. And that is not enough to feed your family, to clothe yourself, and to do what you need to do in order to live. That was more or less the situation in Palestine during Jesus' times. And Jesus is telling to them, hey, don't worry. Even though you have $1, I will take care of you. Your Father is concerned about you. You are precious to my Father, and he will provide for you. How wonderful is that? That the Father is taking care of us. Just imagine the faces of the people hearing this. They know that they don't have enough, but now they are receiving assurance that God will provide, that they are not a piece of dirt, as the Romans used to say, as the Pharisees make them feel, but that God actually thinks on them, that they are precious in his sight. Wow. Just wow. I am precious to him. And you are precious to him too. So next time, boys and girls, especially you who are going to those teenager years, the next time that those hormones strike like crazy and you think that nobody thinks on you, remember this. God thinks on you. God loves you. God will provide everything for you and for your well-being. And that is actually comforting. Because nobody will love you as God loves you. And again, we need to ask, why? Why will God think in a guy like me? Why will he care? And the biblical answer is, because of his son, Jesus Christ. You see, he couldn't just let you go. He loved you so much that he couldn't. That's why he sent his only son to die for you, to bring you back, to call you his son and daughter. That means that you are loved with an eternal love. And in that sense, we can also apply the words of Jeremiah 31:3 to our lives. The Lord appeared to him from far away and said, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you. Did you hear that, boys and girls? The Lord loves you with an everlasting love. God's love for you is eternal, congregation. He will never be unfaithful to his word, to his love. He will also provide for your physical needs and also will provide to your spiritual needs. That is why it's such a privilege to have two services on the Lord's Day. Because that is a provision of love from the Lord to your lives. A privilege that many people don't have. It's a provision of love for you. And no matter what difficulty you are going through right now, nothing escapes his control. You might not know what tomorrow entails, but you can know that God knows, and that is enough, because he is in control. He always will do what is good for our souls. And you know why? You know how can we be sure of this? How can we be sure that of the reality that God wants what is good for our souls? Because the worst thing that ever happened and that can ever happen to a person happened to Jesus. And even then, God used that worst thing to bless our lives, to bring good, the better good in the world, to save our souls, to call us daughters and sons in Christ. So God is indeed our Father because of Christ's suffering. This leads us to our third point, God, our Father, who is faithful. Look with me at the last part of the catechism answer. He is able to do this because he is Almighty God. He desires to do this because he is a faithful father. So boys and girls, let me ask you, how is God as a father? How does he look like as a father? Is he detached from you? Is he detached from you emotionally? Is he far away? I was talking with a friend the other day, and we were talking about how our parents raised us. And I said to him, I don't know about you, but the way in which my father told me I love you was, I laid you coffee on the table. And my friend said to me, well, the way my father told me that he loved me was, hold the light for me. Well, God is not that way. He sent his son to die for us. And so much so that even Christ rejoices in the fact that he can call us brothers and sisters. That's why we read Hebrews chapter 2 tonight, to understand the big privilege that we have in Christ. We are his brothers and sisters. It's because of Christ's sacrifice that we have the privilege of adoption. We were not his people. We were not part of his covenant. But we are now in Christ. We belong to him. We are his family. And he doesn't abandon his family. He is faithful indeed to complete the good works that he started in us. That's why Paul is saying this in Philippians 1:6. And I am sure of this, that he who began the good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. So he is faithful to stay with us, even in sufferings. And one day, he will be faithful enough to present us before the Father. Here, Father, this is my people for you. These are your children. These are your sons and daughters. And how wonderful it is, the reality that he has saved us despite of ourselves, despite of our mistakes and errors and sinfulness, that he is faithful to his word. Because, congregation, you may be aware of this, but let me tell you this again. You will never be perfect in this life. And I'm so sorry, but you will not. You will fail. You will sin. You will be selfish. You will be egocentric. But what a comfort it is to know that God works even though we sin, that he carries us in his arms, that he not only upholds this universe, but also upholds your life. He has you in his arms. And he will not reject what Christ has done. He will not waste away his precious blood. He will never waste his sacrifice. Therefore, you are secure in his hands. There is nothing you can do to lose your salvation, to go away from God. He will always call you back. You are safe in his hand. It's your loving Father that sent you Christ. It's your loving Father that delights in being called Father by your lips. And even in the darkest nights, he is still there, upholding your life, sustaining you, keeping firm your salvation, with his arms wide open to you when we fail, when we sin, ready to forgive. That is a father that never betrays us, a father that is always seeking to us. So congregation, may the Lord help us to honor him as our father, to love him back as our father, as he has loved us first in Christ. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ and for the reality that because of his sacrifice, his death and resurrection, we can call you Father. What a great privilege is indeed that we can direct ourselves to you as our Heavenly Father. We thank you that you are to us a loving Father that doesn't reject us, but is with us, that provide for us and will bring us to your presence one day to live with you forever. Help us to serve you as a response to that reality. Help us to love you more and more. Help us to serve you better, to bring up our lives before you, so your name may be glorified, and in seeing this reality, others also may want to come before you. We ask you all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as a response, congregation, we are going to sing number 498. 498, and we will be singing all the stanzas of 498. Please rise with me so we can sing this song together. I will sing of my Redeemer. We will sing stanzas 1 through 4 or 498. We also now have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our offerings. The offering for tonight is for the general fund. Thank you. Please rise, congregation, so you can hear how the Lord is blessing his people. And what a wonderful it is this, that God not only receives us in his presence to worship him, but also we depart with his blessing. So as you go to this world to live for his glory, hear how the Lord is blessing you tonight. The blessing for tonight comes from Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 to 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. Let us sing now our doxology, which is 563.